Bookers. I'm Katie.
And I'm Sarah.
And we are Bookish Like That. So we are doing Where the Crawdads Sing this week. I read this book a couple years ago when it first came out.
Yeah, it's been out a little while.
This is a new book to you, though.
Yes, and I've wanted to read it for a while, but I knew it was probably emotional.
It was.
And I can't handle those very often.
Did you cry?
Yes.
A lot?
Yes. Okay. A lot.
I did too, but not on the parts that you would expect. Like, I think there are parts in this book where, of course, people cried. I didn't cry on those. I cried on parts that were a little bit different, but we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So this book is about to be a movie. I think it comes out in July.
I'm so excited now.
And it's also part of the Reese Witherspoon's book club. I think this was the first book in her book club.
I feel like it's the one that made people realize Reese Witherspoon's book club was a thing.
I agree. I agree with that.
Because it became pretty popular, too, after this.
Which, rightfully so, because it's such a good book.
It was meant to be a movie.
So
the way it's described.
I was about to say that. So the story is, like, there's, like, four characters in the whole story.
Yeah.
But the way this author describes things and the way she uses, like, metaphors and the environment in her storytelling is insane.
Yeah, insane. And it's just crazy because we've read books with, like, we've talked about, like, oh, there's seven characters. How can you, like, make it interesting with that many people? But this one is, like, no characters, hardly.
But
and it's
love
so
it.
Good.
Yeah, but you love
it's
it.
It's insane.
Well, this book is split between 1969, which is their present day, and then it goes into the past. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it mellows out and she catches up to their present day, which is 1969.
But for a long time, it's just little tidbits of 1969, the present. Little bitty tidbits.
So they actually start off in the year 1969. And so in 1969, two little boys find a body laying on the ground. And they, you know, go look at it for a second to see if he's, like, sleeping or whatnot. And it ends up being a dead body. And it's a guy named Chase Andrews.
And they find out this is, I mean, you slowly realize this is somebody everybody knows.
Yes. So Chase Andrews was, like, the neighborhood hero.
Quarterback.
Like, he was the quarterback. He was everything that men wanted to be. All the girls wanted him. And now he's dead. And that was all you get for a very long time. And so then it goes back to 1952. And this is where we meet our main girl, Kaya. And she is six. And life is hard for Kaya and her family because they're very poor. They live in the marsh in North Carolina. But Kaya's actually pretty happy as far as 6-year-olds go.
I mean, the way she's describing life, you don't really think, like, they have an issue.
No.
But slowly things come out that there is a lot of issues.
Well, Kaya knows that they're poor, but she also has brothers and sisters and a mom that she loves. And she's, I mean, 6-year-olds, kids are resilient. So she doesn't really see, like you said, a problem there. Well, one day Kaya is sitting on the front porch and her mom comes out and her mom is dressed and her mom leaves. She's tired of the abuse. It turns out that Kaya's dad was heavy-handed and would just beat the shit out of them all, except for Kaya, who's six. But everyone else would get beat. And one day, Kaya's mom just broke, and she was tired of the abuse and the life, and she just kind of zombie walks away.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, like a zombie. Like, she doesn't say anything.
Nope.
She doesn't look at anybody. She just walks down the driveway.
Well, and Kaya is saying, like, you know, she's watched her mom walk into town before, but something about this time feels very different. And her brother Jody, who she's the closest with out of all of her siblings, tells her, this is, quote, "A mom don't leave her kids. It ain't in them," end quote. And your heart breaks because you know that she's not coming back.
You already know. Yeah.
And these kids believe that she's going to because a mama would not leave her babies.
Yeah. And it breaks your heart.
Yes.
You start
oh, my
crying.
Gosh. That's when you start crying?
A little bit.
Okay.
But
that's like the second page.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I tried not to, but then more things come and then you can't help it.
Yeah. So one by one, her brothers and sisters start leaving because now that the mom's not there, the dad is just taking it out on the siblings. And none of them take Kaya. And even at 6 years old, when they're all gone, Kaya wonders why none of them took her with them when they ran off. Okay, let me pause right here, because I'm not blaming the kids, because they were kids. Mm-hmm. But I am an older sister. Mm-hmm. I would not have left my brothers behind.
Never.
I would not. We would have left together and been stronger in numbers, but I would not have left my little brothers behind knowing that I'm leaving because my dad hits me.
Well, and even if it was, like, more difficult because now you got to take care of another human being, I don't know. We would have done it together.
Yes.
There was absolutely no way I was leaving my sister.
No. Like, no, I wouldn't leave. No, I couldn't have left mine either. So now baby Kaya is alone. She's 6 years old, and she has to learn how to fend for herself. Her dad is around, but he's super useless. I mean, he's a drunk. He'll, like, leave and then come back a couple days later.
Yeah, like, you know, he leaves days at a time, and she's, like, got to feed herself, and you think, oh my god, she's six, and she's going to have to learn how to do everything.
Yep, because no one's around anymore, and her dad is gone every once in a while. Well, she's also learned how to read him, so she knows when he's going to be super drunk and she needs to hide, and on what nights he'll be decent and she can, like, sit down with him. They don't speak ever, but she can sit next to somebody. So one day she decides to take her dad's boat out while he's gone and just, like, kind of poke around in the water and see what she can find. Mm-hmm. She's bored. Well, she ends up getting stuck and she's super panicked because, you know, she's six and she's worried that if her dad finds out, he's going to beat the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Well, this little boy named Tate happens to be around, and Tate's a couple years older than her.
Yeah, like four even, I think.
He was Jody's buddy.
Yeah.
So, Tate finds her and asks if she needs help. And, you know, she remembers Tate from him playing with her brother Jody and whatnot, so she feels a little bit safe with him and lets him get her boat out of the sand and then also lets him lead her the way home.
Yeah, because when Jody left, her brother, he said, hide from people.
Yes. Don't trust anyone.
Don't trust anyone. You know how to hide from people. So, she hasn't really, like, had much interaction with people because that's what she was told at six. And yeah, so trusting Tate is
a bigger deal. Yeah. So Kaya and her dad at this point had kind of turned a corner. You know, she asks him one evening if he will teach her how to fish. And something about that kind of makes him wake up a little, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he still drinks, but he's not drinking as much. Like, he doesn't really come home stumbling anymore, and they kind of become buddies.
Yeah, and he starts, like, regularly doing things with
her. Yes, like, he's feeding her, he's giving her more money, he's around more, she's not alone, and she even describes it as, like, you know, if mom was here, if mom comes back and she sees dad like this, maybe she'll stick around because dad's actually decent right now.
But she doesn't say if, she says when.
Yes, when mom comes back.
And that just breaks your heart.
Yes. Well, one morning, Kaya finds a letter in the mailbox, and she can't read, so she runs and gives it to her dad. Well, the letter pisses her dad off, and Kaya knows it's from her mom.
Yeah.
But her dad burns it,
yeah,
and Kaya can't read, so she didn't get a chance to, like, see what was inside. But she puts the ashes of the letter in a jar, and she does this because her mom touched this letter, and she wants that.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to let that go. And, like, oh my god.
And she's like, she'll never know what the letter said.
Mm-mm. Well, whatever was in the letter, like, kicks her dad off the wagon.
Yeah.
And he goes back to his old ways. And then just, like, one day he leaves and never shows back
up. Yep. And it never is good again.
Nope. And so Kaya's like, well, I guess Pa's gone.
Yep. He was the last one. He's gone now, too.
So now she's 10 and she's totally on her own.
We skip quite a few years at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Kaya now has to start feeding herself completely because, like, her dad's not bringing home money anymore and she's on her own. So she goes to this man named Jumpin. And Jumpin is this really sweet black man that owns a general store / gas station for things for, like, boats and, like, fishing and tackle.
Yeah, it's, like, on
tackle.
The swamp. Yes. Which sounds kind of cool, you know, that you get to drive off.
Yeah.
On your boat, yeah.
Kaya knows that Jumpin buys mussels, so she makes a deal with him. I'll bring you a couple mussels, you give me a bit of money, but also fill up my boat. Jumpin knows that this isn't really, like, the best deal for him, but he agrees to it because she's 10.
Yeah, and he says, if you can get here first with the muscles, I'll do it. So she goes out at night and does this as a young, young girl, and she brings them in.
Well, Jumpin later goes home to his wife, Mabel. And they are, you know, Jumpin is like, hey, that little girl came to my shop today, and I think that she's alone completely. I think her dad's gone. Mabel decides that she's going to ask the church for donations for Kaya because Kaya's in, like, clothes that are, like, that she's had since she was six.
Yeah.
Let me just pause right here. Out of all the people in this book, Jumpin and Mabel are the real heroes.
Well, and if the world had been just a little bit different, they could have even taken her in.
I had that in my notes. I said, I love them, and the world needs more people like this.
They just couldn't, though.
No.
Because it was a little white girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have caught hell for that.
Yeah.
It just sucks so bad because, like, Kaya needed them. And, like, they couldn't even do more than what they did for her. And they did more than a lot of people.
Yes. So Kaya gets some clothes from Mabel, and she also tells Mabel that she has some seeds that she found that were her mom's, but she can't read, and she doesn't know how to garden or know what to do with them. So Mabel gives her instructions on how to grow a garden in pictures, because she knows that Kaya can't read.
Yeah.
I have so a lump sweet. In my throat.
I know.
That gave me a lump in my throat, you know?
Yeah.
So now Kaya is 14, and she's still just living alone in the marsh with the birds. And the creatures.
But she's just, the way she talks about all of it is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Because she is like, she's lonely, but she is seeing things that other people would not notice.
Well, and she says at one point, like, the marsh has become my mother.
Yes.
You know? And it's like, oh my gosh.
I know. Well, one day when she's 14, she runs into a boy walking. And she ducks and hides before she can see who it is because people are not kind to her. They call her the marsh girl, swamp trash, things like dirty, things like that. So she just does not trust people at all.
No, and the society, what we're all supposed to be, is the most realistic, unforgiving pieces of crap, you know? And it's like they know what they're doing, though, and she doesn't.
Well,
excuse me.
This made you really hate society.
Yes. This book really did. Because it was like, what's the lesson here? You know?
Mm-hmm.
That living with nature is bad. I mean, like, and being with what God gave us is bad. And being with a bunch of humans, it made them a piece of shit. You know?
Well, and Kaya, to be completely honest, was better than all of them.
Yes, she was.
Way better. And kinder.
Mm-hmm.
So when she comes out of her hiding spot, she sees, like, this little feather sitting on this stump, and it's sitting straight up, like it's been wedged in the stump. And Kaya is like, that's not how things work. Somebody put that there.
Yeah.
So she goes and, you know, explores it and sees what it is, and she finds that it's a very unique feather and a very, very hard feather to find.
And she has quite a feather collection going.
Yes.
So she's like, somebody knows that I like this.
Well, the next morning she goes back to the stump and she sees that another thing has been left.
Mm-hmm.
And now she knows that it was the boy that she saw, which happens to be Tate, leaving things for her. And at this point in her life, Kaya has nothing but time. So she finds joy in finding beautiful things and then painting and drawing them and then labeling them. So she has feathers, shells, wings. I mean, she has all nests.
Mm-hmm.
She has all sorts of shit in her house. And she's labeled them. You're like, how old this bird must have been when he lost this feather. I mean, like, brilliant.
Yeah.
The girl is brilliant and gifted artist. Because, you know, she's whistling while she works. That's all she can do.
Yeah.
So a bit goes by and nothing has been left for Kaya for a little while, and then it hits her that, like, I have to leave something back.
Yes.
You know, like, he's waiting on me to do this. Okay, so now we jump to 1969. And this is the investigation for Chase Andrews, the guy that died at the very beginning. And they really haven't found anything about his murder, his whatever, at all.
They decided it was a murder because there was absolutely no evidence at all.
Right. And so,
like, they're like, somebody covered something up.
Well, and they thought, oh, he did it on accident because there's nothing. But there's also no evidence that it was an accident either.
There's no evidence that he was there. That all the fingerprints are everything's gone. All the footprints are gone. So, like, somebody was there who could do that.
But they take his clothes and they send it to get tested, which is, I would say, probably standard procedure for that. And they find a weird red fiber in his jacket. They don't know what the red fiber is from, but it was on his body at the time of death. And that's really all they have.
Yeah, and that's it wasn't anything of his. No. So, yeah.
But other than that, that is the only thing out of place.
And the no fingerprints on anything.
Right.
So, yeah, there's, like, evidence of nothing. So.
And then they're even saying things like, well, the tide could have washed it away. Maybe not. And they have nothing.
Yeah.
They don't know what happened. All they know is that Chase is gone. Now it's back to 1960. Okay. So, Tate is asking Kaya, like, let's hang out every once in a while. If you don't want to, that's totally fine, but I'm around boating. Mm-hmm. If I see you boating, can we talk?
Yeah.
And Kaya is like, sure. Hesitantly, sure.
She's just so lonely, though.
Yes.
And that's so sad.
And I think that that's why she says sure, is because she's like, yeah, if I'm at my boat, might as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it goes on from there. But while he's, like, standing there, he is like, hey, I can also teach you how to read.
He realizes she can't read the note he left.
And he teaches her, and she picks it up really
quick.
So
quickly, yeah.
And Tate tells her, quote, you can read, Kaya. There will never be a time again when you can't read. Yeah. End quote. I'm dying.
Yeah.
I'm dying.
It's so true. Like, you get it, then you're good. Yeah.
But, like, they're kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally these kids taking care of each other. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about that that gets to me. So over the summer, that's really all they do, is they hang out. Tate teaches her how to read, how to talk correctly.
Yeah.
He teaches her some math. She gets all of it very quick. Mm-hmm. So they don't really dwell on it too long. And they go do other things like explore and look at the marsh.
Well, you start thinking that her life could be good, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know? She her could be who buddies. She is.
Yeah.
He could keep her somewhat safe. Because you've had moments throughout the book where boys run out there. The whole town knows she's there. And she hides. And you think, oh, God. Something really bad could happen to her. You know? And it's like, okay, well, Tate's here now.
Yeah.
He could keep her safe. But you do know there's the murder that's happened. You know, that's where the book gets you. It's like something happened
eventually
at some point.
But at this point, we don't even know how Chase is connected to Kaya.
So it's like that's where it gets you.
Where you're just like kind of on the edge of
your
seat.
You're like, she can't ever have anything good is what it feels like.
So at this point, Kaya is now 15 and she started her period. And, you know, she's alone. She doesn't have anyone. So
did you think of that through the book? I thought of that. Who's going to help her with that when that happens?
No, I didn't think of it.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, no, someday.
Well, she goes to Mabel because she knew Mabel would help her, and she does. Mabel pulls her in for a hug and just holds her for a second, and then she explains what's going on to her, and she tells her, this is another quote, but it's beautiful, so I have to do it. Quote, this ain't nothing to be ashamed of. It ain't no curse, like folks say. This here's the starting of life, and only a woman can do it. You're a woman now, baby, end quote. Guys,
all of it.
This is all beautiful. The hug, the fact that Mabel explained it as to her as like a part of life because she knew that Kaya would understand that growing up in the nature.
Well, and
all of it is beautiful.
Kaya didn't even have to say anything to Mabel.
No, Mabel just knew. But like the fact that Mabel can get on Kaya's level and explain to her in terms of nature and life because she knows that that's what Kaya will understand. Yeah. And just, like, the hug.
Yeah.
She just held her for a second.
Yeah. And that's what she needed.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. If you're not trying to have Mabel vibes for the kids around you,
I know.
We all need to change.
Out of all the women.
Yes.
Oh my God, the preacher's wife
I know.
Was a piece of shit.
We all need to try to be Mabel because they're real ones right there. So her and Tate are getting close, and Kaya tells him that, you know, they should be girlfriends because, Kaya should be his girlfriend because she knows about feathers, and I bet you none of the other girls know. And Tate thinks that this is hilarious.
Oh my God, it's so cute.
And he agrees to let her be his girlfriend, and I think she likes this because it's like a label.
Yeah.
I think she likes, like, having
concrete. Well, and she doesn't have
concrete.
People.
Yes. Yeah. I think she likes the normalcy.
It's maybe the cutest part to me.
Yeah. I think it was cute.
He's like, why do you want to be my girlfriend? And she's like,
oh, I know about feathers. It's so Reese and Rose. Okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, concrete. Yeah. Like, I know about feathers. Yeah. You know about feathers. I know about feathers.
I bet none of those other girls do.
Yeah.
He's like, true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. So Reese and Rose. So her and Tate are dating. And, of course, this means kissing and touching. But Tate has a very strong handle on himself, because every time it goes a little far, not even like crazy far, but just a little far, he stops and tells her that she's only 15 and they have time.
Well, and he's almost an adult at this point. So it's like this is a bad age group. You know what I mean? Like, she is still too young and mm-hmm. he is almost an adult.
But he waits.
And he waits, and he's so good about it. And she's like, no, we don't have to. And he's like, no, we do.
But he loves her.
He doesn't want to hurt her. He loves her. He said, I don't know how it could mess her up, but I feel like it would. And it's like, for him to know that is so good.
I know. I loved it. Because, like, it is, he knows that he's all she has, and he doesn't want to do it wrong.
You can just see how good she is.
Yes.
You know?
I love it. Yeah. I love it so much.
And I loved him.
I did too.
Until I didn't.
So now it's time for Tate to go off to college. And he tells her that he's going to come home often and that he's going to miss her every single day. I believe that.
Yes.
I think that he is going to miss her every single day. Yeah. I do think that Kaya is a girl that Tate's never going to get over. I do believe that in my soul. But she's also, like, looking at Tate as he's saying these things. And she's noticed that his shoulders are wider, his voice is a little deeper. And she's in love with all of it, but she's noticing that, like, time is moving, and she wonders what he'll look like when he comes back.
Yeah, and he's going out into the world.
And, like, there's just something about her thinking, like, he's going to look different. Like, this is going to change him somehow. Got to me a little bit. Yeah. I think it just got to me. Well, Tate tells her that he's going to come back on 4th of July. And when 4th of July comes, Tate just never shows up.
And she keeps mm-hmm. waiting. And he doesn't ever come.
No, he never shows back up. Not once. And this totally messes with her. Because Tate was the first person that she ever let in willingly. It was the first person that wasn't her mom or her dad or her brothers. She picked Tate.
Yeah.
And she felt like Tate picked her. And that meant something to her. And he wasn't going to leave. Because they picked each other.
I believe Tate, too. And I was so pissed.
Yeah.
I was like, I cannot believe he hurt her like that.
Well, and that she had a taste of having somebody, and then now all of a sudden that's just gone.
Yeah.
You know?
And to not say anything to her about it or ever come back. You know, I mean, eventually he does. But, like, it's just, you were like, Tate, you were better. You knew that everybody left her. Mm-hmm. You knew that she was alone. And you can't even go and tell her.
No.
Like, maybe we gotta wait a little longer.
So Tate did come back at some point, and he found her hiding in the bushes, afraid of people. And it occurred to Tate that he is in this, like, business-ish type of world, this academic world. And Kaya, while brilliant, doesn't fit in socially. And he thinks that she doesn't fit into a life that he thinks he wants.
I know. And I just thought, y'all could totally make it work, man. Quit it.
Well, I don't know, but
it takes him several years.
It does. Well, now it's 1965, and Kaya is 19, and she's absolutely stunning, and she runs into the town big shot, Chase Andrews.
Yeah.
And this is where we learn how Chase and Kaya get, while their stories intertwine. Now, again, Chase was the QB. He was the guy that all the ladies wanted. All the boys wanted to be him, blah, blah, blah. Well, Chase convinces Kaya. Now, years have passed before she's had a companion. I think it's been, like, years have passed. And she's been alone this whole time. Well, Chase convinces her to go on a picnic with him. And while they're there at the picnic, Chase gets a little fresh with her. And this completely panics her. Because for the millionth time, you wanting to does not mean that we want to.
Well, and she thought she might want this. And she understood where this was going, because she's read so much on nature.
But she didn't expect it to be what it was.
And she didn't expect to feel so unwanted.
So,
you know?
And she says, his hands weren't nice like Tate's. When Tate touched her, it was sharing and giving.
Yeah.
But when Chase touched her, it was fast and hard and all about taking. And she did not like that. It wasn't the same.
Yeah.
So she jerked away from him and ran home. Well, a few days later, Chase, like, hunts her down and finds her. And he says that he's sorry for everything. And she's so lonely and desperate for, like, another human being to talk to that she decides to give him another chance. And while they're, you know, like, taking it a little slower and she's decided, she makes this necklace for him with a shell on it. And when he puts it on, he never again takes it off.
Well, yeah.
Now we're in 1969. And Chase's mom has shown up to the investigation, and she meets with the sheriff to tell him that her son has been going to the marsh and hanging out with the marsh girl, and that the necklace that Kaya gave Chase wasn't on his body when she went to go pick up his possessions.
Yeah. So the moms realize that there is another piece of evidence mm-hmm. that the necklace is missing.
And this is enough to get the sheriff to get a warrant. Like, okay, but, like, can... sure.
Yeah, you know? But, like, I don't know.
Yeah. So, back in 1965, Kaya and Chase are spending time together. Chase isn't as patient with Kaya as Tate was.
And you can tell they don't mesh well.
No.
He thinks all of Kaya's things are weird.
Yeah.
Why would you collect the kind of goofy things? Yeah. He's just faking it. You can totally tell. He's a douche. I mean, like, there's no, like... Oh, they kind of go together. No, and not really.
He's pressuring her to sleep with him.
And he is like, why would I keep coming out here if you don't sleep with me? I mean, he's just like the typical piece of crap guy.
Well, she hasn't given in to anything yet, but he's getting pushy. And so one day he tells her,
yes,
I have a business trip. I want you to come with me.
And then he starts promising things.
Yes.
Like they're going to get married. They're going to do this and that. He's such a fucking liar.
And I'm going to buy you a big house. It's going to have a huge porch, you know, all happiness,
yeah.
Which to me almost makes him worse.
Yes.
Because
he knows what he's doing.
Kaya never had any of that.
Yeah.
Not as a kid, not as an adult. You knew she was left and you're still doing it. And it's just like a really cruel joke, you know?
Well, and then to take her out of town. And that's where you sleep with
yes,
her? Yes. That's so not her.
He goes
that's not
out of
Kaya.
It's a nasty motel. Kaya says that all I did was look at the neon sign the whole time. She wasn't impressed.
No.
You know?
She thought it would be more.
But she makes him feel, I mean, she goes along with it because she doesn't really want him to leave.
Well, and you've gone out of town with him. Now she feels like she has to.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, like the sex. Bed. Like after the sex, she was like, oh, yeah, that was great. Just so he doesn't leave her. Instead of being like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Wasn't that into it.
So now it's Christmas time, and Kaya wants to go to Christmas with Chase because he keeps telling her that they're going to be married one day.
And she hasn't met any of his people, his family, anything. Yeah.
So he promises her that he'll come over for Christmas and that they'll do something. But, of course, that never happens, and she sends Christmas alone. Sad. Well, Tate ends up back in town, and he is out of college, he's working, and he has the nerve to come up to Kaya and tell her that Chase is sleeping with other people and that he's the worst and that he's not good enough for her.
He didn't go about it the right way.
I mean, like, I agree with everything he's saying, but, like, fuck you, Tate.
Yeah, he didn't go about it the right way.
No.
But, yeah, he was right, but, yeah.
But also, screw you, man.
Yeah.
So, Tate gets Kaya to let him in her house by saying that he wants to see, like, how her collection has grown over the years. And she's, you know, like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, I'll show you my collection. Like, how cool this is. Well, what he finds, like, flabbergasts him because, like we said, like, she sees things that the rest of the world doesn't get the opportunity to. And, you know, she's a really good artist. So he takes a few samples of, like, the pictures that she's painted and sends it and tells her, I'm going to send this to a publisher and see what happens. Well, a few months have passed since then, and she hasn't really heard anything. But she goes into town to buy a few supplies and just on a whim picks up a newspaper. And when she gets home to read it, she sees that Chase Andrews is engaged to another woman.
And she's still dating him at this point,
yeah,
isn't she?
They're dating, and he's engaged to another person. But when she finds out that they're engaged, she drops him. She's done.
Yeah.
She doesn't continue with him. She feels betrayed, as she should.
Yes.
And she's done. So now it's 1968, and Kaya has heard back from the publisher, and they published her book, and she's getting royalty checks every 6 weeks.
And this is another part where you think, oh, things could be good, but something happens, you know? Because, well, like, she's getting money. She officially owns her land.
Yeah, I was about to say, she goes to the county clerk, buys her 300 acres of marsh.
And she's fixes up her house a little bit. Mm-hmm. You think, this could be a good life.
She sends a copy and a letter to Chase thanking him and says, like, you know, if you're ever around, swing by. Oh, yeah. She sends a copy to Tate and says, like, if you're ever around, swing by. Thank you for doing this. This is when I cried, this part. She also gives a copy to Jump In and says, you know, thank you for everything that you and Mabel have done for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have made it without you. And Jump In was so freaking proud of her.
Yeah.
That he put his book, her book, in his window and bragged about it to everyone that showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I never took another charity from them again. And I paid full price.
Yeah.
From then on out. Oh, I cried.
Yeah.
That was the part that got me.
That's all she needed in life, you know? And it's like, damn it, but you know something more is coming.
But that got to me because, like, that's something.
Yeah.
And this is the part that also got to me about this book is the society people don't know nothing about that.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This girl who literally started from the fucking bottom is now a published author and pays full price. And the other people are proud of her. Like, you don't know how that feels.
No.
And you're nothing.
I just can't imagine thinking bad about a little girl that survived.
No.
She survived on her own. Those adult women couldn't do that.
She didn't just survive, though. I think that that's a difference. Yeah, she lived. Yeah. She was living.
Yeah.
There's a difference between surviving. Surviving to me is like I ate every once in a while.
Yeah.
No, she lived. She had her collection. She had her interests. She had relationships with people. Jumpin' and Mabel, it wasn't the relationship that we have with our parents, but it was something.
Yeah.
It was how she learned how to be with other people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, the town people, you don't know nothing about that.
No.
That is a part of life that you're never going to grasp.
Yeah.
But she's dumb. Screw y'all.
Yeah.
So now it's 1968 still. Kaya's big brother, Jody, the one that left at the very beginning, he found her.
This was horrible. So sad.
He ended up joining the army when he left, when he was old enough. And he apologized for leaving, said that he was just so young and he didn't know what to do. And he just, it was really rough for him for a while.
All the time. And
yeah. He says that he doesn't know what's going on with the other kids. He wouldn't know who they were even if he passed them on the street. That kills me.
Yeah.
He also tells her that her mom passed away about 2 years ago and that he knows a little bit about the mom. So one day after, she left, she showed up at her sister's house in New Orleans, but didn't speak for a very long time when she showed up. And then one day she, like, woke up and wrote to Kaya's dad asking for the kids. Well, obviously he refused. And his refusal turned their mom basically into a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't speak anymore. She just did paintings and she painted them and whatnot. Here's the deal, though. Why didn't you just give her the kid?
And you know what
was the point? You turned into a drunk that left anyways. Why not just give her the kid?
In like the 50s and 60s and before that even, the kids would have been the man's property.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes you so mad. Those were her babies. Mm-hmm. Those were hers. They were in her belly. She grew them. And he gets to decide. I think I would have just taken him. Because that son of a bitch ain't going to look for him. You know what I mean? And, like, they had money, her family, mm-hmm. in New Orleans. You had somewhere to go. It wasn't like she went on the streets and did nothing.
But what gets me, I mean, like, all of that, absolutely
so
true.
So fucking sad.
You, after you got the letter, you left and you never showed up. But at least she didn't have them.
Yes, exactly.
Like, what is that?
Person.
Like, yeah, she doesn't have them, but neither do you, man.
And they don't have anybody.
And she's alone
These
now.
These kids are just alone out in the world.
I know. Well, now it's 1969, and the town is pretty much convinced that the Marsh girl, Kaya, is the murderer. They don't have any actual evidence of this. It's just because she's the Marsh
girl. And it's a small town, and everybody's got to come up with something. And it's rumors, and it's hearsay, and absolutely nothing is solid.
So now we're back to 19... Okay, so we're in 1969 solidly now, okay? Mm-hmm. But before the murder, Kaya has dropped Chase because he's engaged, and now he's married. Well, one day, Chase finds her, and he tries to rape her. She manages to get away, but not before Chase punches her in the face, mm-hmm. takes down her pants, and gets really close, screams at her, rubs her face in the sand, and all this jazz. She manages to get away, but a man in a boat in the ocean saw her running and screaming. And of course, her running and screaming with her pants down means that she's crazy, not that she was just attacked. You know what I mean?
Well, and Chase is just such a piece of shit.
Oh, and that's the thing.
He's known for cheating. And then now, not only does he have other women, he's also going to take it from women.
Yes.
What is wrong with you?
Well, and what gets me is Chase rubbed her face in the sand, you fucking bastard.
She's an animal.
But he's an outstanding citizen.
Oh, yeah.
But he was the quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay.
This book, to me, is more a book on society than anything.
It just got to me.
How screwed up things are.
And here's what really gets to me, too. Kaya didn't go to any of y'all, man. Y'all found her.
She just wanted to be left alone, and they wouldn't leave her alone.
She was
y'all
fine.
Wanted nothing to do with her, but y'all wouldn't leave her alone.
I know.
Oh
she
my god,
was...
leave her the fuck alone.
Well, if she fine. That's what I was saying. She was fine. Yes. You wanted her.
Yes.
You wanted her. Those you sought her
ass
out.
Lives.
Oh my
good
god, it's infuriating. Yes. But you know. But she's insane.
Yeah,
she's running with her pants down.
It
yeah, okay.
Possibly be an issue.
Well, now Kaya has been arrested, and the entire town is hardly breathing because this is the murder of like a town hero, and the accused is the Marsh girl, and it's just this gossip and whatnot, and you get that feeling. But actually, the town is pretty divided because some of them remember her as a kid. And remember her being sweet and scared and shy. And the other town thinks that she's wild. So it's like this weird mixture where, like, the woman that works at Piggly Wiggly would say, like, I would always give her extra change.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you know, balance the till with money out of my own purse. And she remembers that little girl and knows that that little girl couldn't have done it.
It's just that they were not the greatest still. You know, it's like, you're kind of helpful, kind of not. You know, thanks a lot.
Well, during the trial, you know, they have zero evidence that she did it. And the jury decides that she's not guilty.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I'm going to rush the ending here because I think that y'all should read it.
Yeah.
The book ends with Kaya and Tate getting back together and them living in her shack in the marsh. She decides to never leave her little piece of land again. Thank the Lord. And she publishes a few more books and just lived her life out there with Tate. She has a few nieces and nephews. She thinks that's a hoot. Well, she, you know, only leaves her piece of land one time. And it's after Jumpin' passes away.
Yeah.
After the funeral, after the wake, she goes to Mabel. They hug. And Mabel tells Kaya that Jumpin' loved her like a daughter. I cried.
Yes,
I that know. Got me. I cried at that part, too, because... holy shit, you know?
Because Kaya agrees.
Yes, and Kaya loved Jumpin' and Mabel like her parents. Well, one day out, you know, Kaya went out in her boat, and Tate has noticed that it's gotten pretty late and Kaya hasn't come back, so he goes out and looks for her. Kaya passed away peacefully and quietly in her boat, in the sunshine, under the trees. And that evening, when he comes home, he finds, like, this little box hidden in the back of her closet. And in the box, he finds a few poems, the deed to the land, and Chase's necklace.
Yeah.
And this means that she pushed Chase off the tower.
Yeah.
And she knew, though, it was her only way to be freed of him. He would never stop coming for her. You know, if she was his in his mind, and she bested him. And men like that do not let that shit go.
Yeah.
So... she knew, like, I'm going to have, and she even says that, like, at one point, like, I knew that I would spend the rest of my life hiding from him, Yeah. Or giving in to him. And I wasn't going to do either. So, at the very end, Tate puts on her tombstone, the Marsh Girl. And I think that that's beautiful. And I loved every single page of this book. 5 out of 5.
It's a hard one.
5 out of 5.
I wanted to give it a 5 through most of the book. But then it's just like, so sad at the end. I don't think... I didn't want it to be her that killed him.
I did.
I wanted it to be Tate.
I think that she did it.
Throughout the whole book, you know it's possibly her. Obviously, that's where this is going. It could be her.
But I will say that there's this part, though, where the whole book tells you that she did it. Because she's, like, watching nature and the fireflies change their lights to attract other people. They say
the whole thing is, like, somebody knows this land. Who did this?
Yes. And, like,
who knows the land better than her?
The shells keep secrets better than mud does. Yeah. And, I mean, like, you know she did it. But the thing is that she didn't do it because she's an insane murderer. She did it because Chase was not going to let her live her life in peace.
And it also makes you think, I mean, like, this was just in the 60s, I would say just the start of really caring about murders. People didn't really care for a long time. There weren't investigations too much. Life just happened. So this is, like, to me, a big start of society changing completely. Because obviously, because you have her who is in a completely different world than society. So some people are still living like that at this point. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, not really. Most people are in society, you know?
Right.
So this was the start of a change. And it was kind of like, do we need to investigate every murder? And do we need somebody to be at fault every time? Like, maybe sometimes people need to be murdered. I mean, nobody wants to say that.
If there was ever somebody that deserved to be murdered, yeah.
Maybe sometimes they do.
What gets me, too, is that, like we said, Kaya did not ask any of y'all to come snooping around her place. You know? I mean... I
just wish they would have let her live. Yes. Oh, my God, leave her alone.
None of y'all would have been murdered. But I also think Chase taking that necklace and putting it on and never taking it off. That was a fucking trophy. Yes. That was a trophy that he had her.
Yes.
And he wanted everyone to know it. That was a trophy.
He was a sick
person. And I think that's why she took it back, because she knew it was a trophy too.
That's exactly why she took it back. Yeah. I think that, like, through the whole book, it's like, even though I got mad at Tate, it's like, you kind of did want him to come back.
Well, because you know that they got each other. And as hard as it is to forgive Tate, he was very young, too. Yeah. And it is okay to not understand the difference between what I want versus what I need when you're that younger.
It's true, yeah. So, in your 20s, you think all it this is what is my going life, to get stuff.
Yes, yeah. And he thought this is what his life was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then when he was done with that, he was like, I had that, and it didn't make me happy. I'm going back to when I was happy. Well, then his
life kind of added up to doing this. Yes. I mean, like, he ended up in the area. He ended up doing the same kind of thing she was doing. He was just more, you know, official about it. It was just...
So, I'm okay with him realizing, like, I did it. I'm going to hit reverse. I'm going to go back. What I need versus what I want were not the same things.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. But the town... Go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
Every single one of you, except for Jumpin' and Mabel and the lady at Piggly Wiggly.
Exactly.
Everyone else sucks ass.
So, like, people that they wouldn't see as anything.
I also do not understand the lady at Piggly Wiggly. Could you not have just been like, hey, get in, kid?
Well, and the way she would ask Kaya about things, Kaya always was like, she's judging me.
Yes.
So it's like, she just didn't do it right.
I will say.
She knew Kaya's mom was gone. You know she did.
One of my favorite, absolutely favorite things about Royce is that if he ever saw a kid, he would not hesitate to be like, you're mine now. I love you. Get in the car and let's go home.
Yeah.
It is my favorite quality about him.
Yeah.
I think I'm the same way. You would not have to convince me to take in a kid.
And I would notice if a kid wasn't being treated right.
Yes.
You know, kind of like the Piggly Wiggly lady. She noticed. She just didn't do anything.
Well, and I think
why do they blame the kid?
But society really hasn't changed, if you think about it. Because I know a lot of people that would say things like, oh, that's so sad, poor baby, and donate money, maybe. But hardly any of them would be like, come home with me.
I know several things that have happened lately where, like, a teacher was like, You're eating ramen again? Well, do just tell me if you need money. Like, it's the kid's fault.
Yeah,
like,
instead of just putting money on her lunch account and seeing quiet about it. Or maybe
she likes ramen. Like, what is wrong with you?
But you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people.
Still the judging on the poor thing. Yeah. Or, you know, it's like, really? Who cares? That doesn't make anybody anything.
No. No. And like we said, she was poor. She started with nothing.
Or how somehow kids are responsible for how their parents are.
Yes. We've seen a lot of that lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and she was better than all of y'all.
Yes.
Better than absolutely any of you. 5 out of 5. This book gets a 5 out of 5.
I know.
What do you give it?
I just don't think I could read it again because it's so much.
I reread it.
So it's like, for me, yeah, I guess it is a 5, but it's so emotional. And kid things really get me.
Yeah.
When she's like, it's my birthday, and I know there's no way Mama would miss my birthday.
Oh, I know.
And then she's on the beach, and she's crying with the birds because her Mama missed her birthday. Everybody did. She's alone. Oh, my God, I was bawling. Like, and I went and hugged my kids. Aww. It makes you be a better mom.
They got a hug out of the deal. Yeah. That's good. It's very rare.
Just whatever. I was like, kidding. I love y'all. Y'all are perfect.
Y'all are the sweetest kids. But your bathroom stinks.
You know what is going to be amazing?
What?
The movie. This is meant to be a movie. How beautiful it is. The drama of it. Can you imagine the drama looks that are going to be in this movie? It is going to be a great movie.
I think that I love that we're telling stories like this because, like, even
this is a strong woman.
Yes, I was just about to say that because this is woman empowerment to me. This is everything. I love it. I think about this book a lot even when I'm not reading it. Mm-hmm. I also, there was this one part, we didn't get into it, about the turkeys. How, like, once Kaya was watching turkeys attack each other because the other turkeys knew that this one turkey was weak and it would attract predators.
Yeah.
And while she's thinking of that, kids are running up to her door and tagging it. Like, that's a joke. Like, I survived the Marsh Girl.
Yeah.
And she considers herself the weak turkey. And why are these kids being mean to me? Don't they know how weak I am? That,
oh my God, it really makes you think about nature and humans and how we're not that much different. What about the sneaky motherfuckers? Do you remember that part?
Yes.
When she's talking about in nature, the strong male should be the one that you mate with so that you're stronger. But there's the sneaky motherfuckers who they put on an extra show to make be able to mate. Yeah. And it was like 100% Chase.
Well, and she was like, the weaker males make the most noise.
And it's so real. Yes. I was like, oh my God, we are not that far off.
I have the weaker males make the most noise highlighted. Yeah. Because it's one of those things I'm going to remember to tell my kids.
Yes, it really is. Uh-huh. Those sneaky motherfuckers.
They make the most noise. I will never forget that. Worth it. So on Goodreads, this got a 4.5 out of 5. That's pretty close. I gave it a 5. I think there's nothing wrong with this book to me. It's absolutely perfect.
It's just emotional.
I'll give this book to my kids when they get older to read. Yeah.
I think everybody should read it.
I do too.
I think man, woman, anybody.
This is going to be one of the ones where I'm like,
I'm so excited about the movie.
Yes. Are we going to go see it?
Yes.
Are we going to cry?
Yes.
Yes. And you know, Tay Swift is singing.
I know. I heard that. Yeah.
Girl, let me, you know, we're going to be like, Taylor, how could you? You just hit it right out of the park. Reese. Taylor.
Yeah, I know. Good job, ladies. A woman director, too.
Well, it should be because, like, that's the whole thing with Reese's book club, I think, is that it's a strong female lead.
Well, and this Hello Sunshine is her production company.
Oh.
She's producing this whole damn thing.
I love it.
She's doing all kinds of, like, women of all kinds, you know?
I love it.
Age, different ages too. Women well, of any age can do anything. Well, the Firekeeper's
daughter was the Reese's Young Adult Book Club.
Yes, I hope they make that a movie too.
That one would be so pretty. All right, well, those are our thoughts on Where the Crawdads Sing. Give us a follow on Instagram, and don't forget to subscribe and rate our podcast. Bye, readers.
Bye.